She was the only white person to join the march. She was arrested, and her car was burned up in front of the police station, and hoses were turned on the jail room from the outside by citizens, irate citizens. And when she came out of jail, during the time she was in jail, when she came out, her husband denounced her on the radio and announced that he was divorcing her. He had 7 children.
So she was ostracized, though, from her entire community.
Oh, very, right.
So how did you meet V?
I met her through a student friend of mine who grew up next door to her. She remains the most remarkable woman I ever met.
And I'd like now for you to read a description of V.
She was guilty of no fear, no envy, no meanness. I remember her in livid color, her with radiant, cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas and Blake-like tragedy, the best mind of a generation, in an era, a place that thought nothing of a woman, even a white woman, and of a black woman thought even less than. Of course, the radiant, cool eyes is a famous line from Allen Ginsberg's Howl.
Your book has been described as a collage of voices and fugue-like with contrapuntal patterns worthy of Bach. So there are people and things that come up again and again. And just to give everybody, you know, a couple examples, there's Martin Luther King Jr., Sonny Liston, Elvis Presley, Dear Abby, snakes, lilies, you know, the prices of food.
I knew I wanted to write about my friend V. I didn't know that it would end up very much needing the context of the place in which she lived. I think of it as a kind of patterning. Every time things come up repeatedly, they are reinforced with another layer of significance.
You report in order to write a book like this, right? You make phone calls, you do interviews and research.
I do. They're very informal. I interview people in person and by phone. There is, of course, always more than one version of truth. You're just trying to see things as clearly as you can.
I'd like you to read a scene in your book now that takes place in the Civil Rights Museum.
Right, that was very curious. Looking through the plexiglass that separates us from the carefully unkempt furnishings at the Lorraine, cigarette butts in the ashtray and the dinner plate shared with Abernathy, the stuck clock of history. An anachronistic-looking child stands next to me with ringlets like Shirley Temple. "Is this where they killed Elvis?" she asked her mother. "Wrong king, child. Wrong freaking king."
Did that really happen?
Yes.
C.D. Wright, thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.